get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Goldhawk. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Goldhawk is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Goldhawk. Welcome to Think Realty Radio. Super excited to be here today. We have an awesome show for you with my good friend and buddy, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse. We'll talk about some news articles that we found quite noteworthy and something that you should also be paying attention to as a real estate investor. A couple of interesting topics, and quite frankly, the first and foremost, is renting really cheaper than buying a home, and why should I care? Let's go ahead and bring Kevin on the air. Kevin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Always fun to have you, and I love talking about the relevancy of some of these news articles and weaving that into the thread of an investing conversation, because we can use this information, really, really break it down and say, here's why we should or shouldn't be investing in single family rentals. So what's the latest, study here? It was like some CNBC report. I think you forwarded it over to me. And they said that renting right now in every state is cheaper than buying a home. Why is that? And how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, I think the amazing part that I took out of the study was there's no exception, right? It's cheaper to rent a home in every state in the United States, every one of them, than it is to own. And while this particular study that came out through the U.S. Census Bureau doesn't offer a reason why, what their opinion on why that was, or really what the formula was between what they kind of put into that number, there's been a lot of other reports out there that talk about the difference between owning and renting. And, you know, when they look at the home ownership costs, they look at things like maintenance, property taxes, repairs, insurance, and then obviously your mortgage payments and things. So this isn't probably an analysis between a mortgage payment and rent, but more an all-inclusive component. But it's still interesting. Generally, when we look at these things, it's not a, an all or nothing. It might be these couple states. It's better to own on a monthly basis than rent and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's interesting because this is media. It was a really short article, but there's so much to talk about. The fact that, does that mean everyone should rent or what does that mean, right? I think it was interesting. Those on social media maybe follow a gentleman named Gary Vaynerchuk. He got in some hot water because he works with a lot of real estate agents, and he put out a post on why he thinks younger generations and certainly entrepreneurs and those starting a business, why they shouldn't buy a home and they shouldn't be fooling themselves that they're investing if they're buying a home to live in, because they should be investing money maybe in other places. So I think there's so many different takes and perspectives on if you should buy or not. But what I took out of this was this is going to continue to put an increase in demand on single family housing to rent, right? It's clear that if you're a, doesn't even matter what generation you're in. If you're an American or American family on a budget, on a tight budget, on a monthly basis, you're probably going to turn to renting. And especially if you're a young family or someone who's not just living alone, or for some reason you want that bigger home, that single family home versus the apartment or the condo, you're going to have to look to single family housing. And so for single family rental property investors like myself and my clients, this is a good sign. The fact that home affordability has been an issue, we've talked about that before on the show, and it doesn't seem to be necessarily going away. We can probably talk about some of the market trends later and how that might be changing, but this is a good thing for real estate investors in the fact that demand's there, demand's going to continue to be there for the foreseeable future, and we're going to see some upward pressure on rents because of this too. So I look at this article and these statistics that are coming out around renting versus buying. Really is a great thing for real estate investors.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. I mean, I think at the end of the day, that should be a signal for anybody listening that has an inkling of getting into the real estate investing world to jump to rentals as single family rentals as a buying option, especially from the onset, right? At the end of the day, with single family rentals, you get a lot of things. You get the liquidity of generally an illiquid asset class. If you needed to get rid of an asset, you could dispose of a single family rental pretty quickly. You can sell it to an investor. You can put it on the MLS. You can list it on the MLS and sell it to a homeowner, et cetera. I mean, you have, quite frankly, many, many exit strategies there. You are receiving income. You can depreciate the asset. You have equity buildup as a result of the loan principal pay down. You have appreciation of that area, home price appreciation. And then, of course, you have leveraging the asset to go get more. And single family rentals is the bedrock of society. Everybody wants to live in their own home. And right now, the mathematics are just making more sense for folks to rent than to buy. Adam Data Solutions, Kevin, also did a similar but independent study and also found that renting is cheaper than buying a home in the majority of the largest U.S. cities. And I think it was they compared three-bedroom homes. Renting a three-bedroom home, quote, is more affordable than buying a median price home, in 442 out of the 755 U.S. counties. And that's roughly 59% that were analyzed for Adam Data's 2019 rental affordability report. So if you want to take a look at that, go to adamdata.com. The broad study incorporated fair market rent data for 2019 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, wage data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and public record sales deed data from Adam Data in these 755 U.S. counties. So at the end of the day, I want to know, should I be buying single family rental real estate? Is this good news for it, Kevin? Yes or no?
Yes, I think it is good news for it. I've been talking for a couple of years about looking at the demand projections for single family housing. And, with the number of households that are projected to be formed between, last year and 2022, 2023, a majority of them, something like 68% of those new households being formed, are anticipated to be renter households. So as our population grows, and population growth is a good thing for real estate, so is demand for single family housing. And this study, just based on how things are working out financially for average American families across the country in all 50 states, it's a good sign for single family housing.
So here's a question for you about AI, and I don't know what the answer to this is. Quite frankly, I'm a little freaked out about it. But let's say there at some point in time in the future, AI is going to like dominate us all, right? What if AI, artificial intelligence, robots, etc., start taking away all the jobs to the point where humans can't pay rent? Then what happens?
I don't even know how to answer your question, Avi. That's crazy.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but say the trucks, for example, right? We're going to have autonomous trucks moving all this heavy stuff on the highways. That's probably happening in the next 10 or 15 years. So all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question and an interesting way to look at it. But ultimately, look at the history of the evolution of this country. And, it's certainly not a big, large majority of Americans that work in factories and assembly lines and in the industrial world anymore like it was in the early 1900s. Things have changed and things have innovated. And so I think the same thing's going to happen with AI.
Well, good. That puts all my worries to rest. I'll just keep going to Alabama to go buy more single family rentals. All right. When we come back, more news, more information you need to know with my good friend Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse. Check him out at runnerswarehouse.com. Have questions for me? ThinkRealtyRadio.com. On the right side, you will see a little form that says ask a question, fill it out, and I'll answer it right here on Think Realty Radio. Be right back
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape, and we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home.
Attention real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We are back. You're listening to Think Realty Radio. If you have questions, go to thinkrealtyradio.com. You can also, on the same site, click play for some of your favorite episodes and all-time shows of Think Realty Radio. My guest today is Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse, and we were just talking about some news articles and relevancy to you. So if you missed that, again, go to the website and click find the most recent Kevin Ortner episode, and then click play. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the Think Realty Conference and Expo in Dallas, Texas, and we have four conferences every single year. We have one in Dallas, Baltimore, Irvine, California, and Atlanta. And during the Dallas conference, I had a really awesome conversation with a pro investor. And the topic of diversification came up. Where are you diversifying your energy? How are you doing it? Are you in different markets? Are you in one market? If you are you in different neighborhoods? Are you only solely running your business? Are you buying ETFs, stocks, bonds, mutual funds? I kind of felt like we talked about it all. But as a listener to the show, I also then realized, you know, y'all are business owners, you're entrepreneurs, you have some excess cash, and you work in the business on your business every day. You could be selling widgets, you could be a plumber, you could be, who knows, a six-figure consultant, healthcare professional. And you, too, have a need to diversify your assets and your income or your money into different income-generating opportunities and machines, if you will, just like your business. So instead of only reinvesting back into your business, diversify. Kevin, what are some of your initial thoughts on how one can diversify their capital?
I think diversification is super important, right? As I go around and talk to people about how to grow their real estate portfolios and the advantages of investing in single-family real estate, part of the conversation comes down to true diversification, right? When you go to your financial planner and you talk to people, you read the books, listen to the podcast, everyone says diversification, diversification, diversification. But sometimes they stop short, they're talking about diversification inside the financial markets. And so buy some stocks and some bonds and some ETFs and keep some in cash. That's what they're talking about when they talk about diversification. And I think we need to take diversification a little further, right? And, great. I believe I'm a real estate investor and a property manager and all that stuff. And I'm a big proponent of real estate, but I also don't tell people to invest all of their money in real estate. That would be silly. So the same token applies to when the conversation is the other way, which is you also shouldn't be investing all of your money into the markets, in my opinion. True, real diversification happens when you have some money in the stock market. You own some bonds. You own, some other form of financial investment, and you own real estate.
Right.
And inside of your real estate portfolio, you should be looking at diversification as well. What does that look like? What markets am I in? How am I protecting myself from local market downturns, regional issues that might come around? And so are you investing in all of your properties? Are they in one market? Or are you analyzing your actual real estate portfolio as well to ensure that you have real diversification? So I think diversification is such a just a big, meaty topic.
So what's the danger, Kevin, of investing only in your market? Like, let's say I've done well. I have a widget company, and I'm sitting on a little bit of cash that I can withdraw from the company if I needed to on a K-1 type of distribution, or I'm just being paid a really hefty salary. And I may have a small residential real estate portfolio in Atlanta, for example. Why should I not just keep buying in Atlanta?
I don't know that there's a risk to it, but it can really change the dynamics of your portfolio and how things behave over the long haul, right? So the way I look at it is I think it is great for investors to buy their first one or two or three properties in their market because it's fun and exciting, and you can go see the home and you can touch and feel it, and that's great. But as you start to expand that portfolio and maybe try and grow it and become more of a professional investor in real estate, looking at alternative markets, I think, can create a balanced portfolio. And what I mean by that is there's going to be some markets where you might have a lower yield but a higher housing price appreciation. Those are things we often see together, right? A lower yielding property, but probably in the long term, you're going to have a higher housing price appreciation. That's just the dynamics of how yield oftentimes works. Then you might get into a market where you have a much higher yield, a lot more cash flow coming off that property, but you're not going to see that same 4, 5, 6% housing price appreciation. You might see 1 or 2 or none, right? And I think a well-balanced portfolio might have some of all of those, right? So you can actually catch some of the housing price appreciation over time and ride that wave and make sure you're not missing out there, but also have some, increased cash flow in your portfolio overall and invest in some properties that you might not be on the depreciation play, but you're probably going to generate some larger cash flow returns on a monthly basis. And all of a sudden, you have kind of the best of both worlds. And you can do that by looking at what markets you're investing in, why you're investing in each one of those markets, and again, ensuring that there's a balance there and a diversification across multiple regions.
Especially if you live in really expensive cities and states like California, Washington, the state of New York, like you'll spend $1 million and get 50 square feet of dirt somewhere on the side of the road. Like that's never a fun position to be in when everybody is looking at investing in your area, and it's like your competition is just driving up prices because that's just the norm. That's what's happening. So if you're looking for better deals and if you're looking for better opportunities, it makes sense to check out a couple of markets that are out of your own state. And, quite frankly, it's less stress. Right? You can find better deals. Like if you take a look at Northwest Indiana or Ohio, Michigan, you can find great deals, properties that you can buy for $80,000, $90,000. You can rent them out for $900, $925 a month, and you put down 20, 25%. All of a sudden, you're going to cash flow. And yeah, you can buy a house for the $90,000 to $95,000, 3-bed, 2-bath, a 3-bed, 1-bath, professionally managed by a property manager like Renters Warehouse. I mean, and do that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I don't see like why that is a foreign concept. Do you think, Kevin, that's because it's just like the fearful? It's people are fearful of doing that, and that's why they don't take the leap?
I think part of it's the fear factor. It's unknown. It's easy to buy a stock online, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, pick right. your favorite trading platform, right? It's easy to do it. You can do it from home.
Right.
And I don't think people actually understand it as much, but they know they can easily buy it and sell it and, you know, hopefully they can make some money. Real estate's more challenging than that, and it shouldn't be, but it's perceived as more challenging. And I think it's because being a quote-unquote real estate investor is, you know, associated with people like Warren Buffett and those types, right? And it doesn't have to be. And with the advent of new technology coming into the space, it makes it a lot easier to invest across state lines. And for a long time, people, if you lived in San Francisco or New York City or different, you know, all over California, oftentimes it was challenging to find investments that made sense for you without having to come out of pocket a lot or, you know, a lot of cash down payment or whatever the reason might be. There's things that didn't make sense, and now you can easily use technology to invest across state lines, and it can be as easy as buying a stock.
So we'll talk a little bit about some of the resources and technology available on runnerswarehouse.com that I can use to do that exact thing when we come back. And I have questions for me. ThinkRealtyRadio.com is where I live. Got to go to break. We'll be right back.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
National Real Estate Insurance Group is the industry leader in providing coverage customized for investors. We insure occupied, vacant, and renovation properties across all 50 states, can combine all properties on one schedule, and offer convenient pay-as-you-go monthly billing. Visit NREIG.com today for your free custom proposal. That's National Real Estate Insurance Group at NREIG.com or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Where are successful investors turning for the latest news, trends, and insights in real estate? Think Realty Magazine. Sign up for your investor-level membership at thinkrealty.com today to start receiving Think Realty Magazine delivered to your door and inbox every month. Boost your competitive advantage with news from the nation's leading investors, market updates, the hottest investment strategies, and more. Take the next step toward building more wealth. Sign up today at thinkrealty.com.
The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit AAPLonline.com today. Savvy investors make use of smart savings. Think Realty Radio listeners, you have the opportunity to save smart with Sherwin-Williams Paint. Sign up for your free Think Realty membership now and activate discounts to save up to 50% off of select Sherwin-Williams Paint. Rehabbers, investors, property managers, this is your opportunity to save big for your next project. Start saving up to 50% now. Go to thinkrealty.com/paint and then click discounts.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
All right, we're back. It's Abhi Golhar, host of Think Realty Radio. My co-host, I suppose, Kevin, at this point, you might as well be considered my co-host.
Guest Fantastic.
Today,
I'll take that.
Hey, there you go, right? Guest today is...
I'm going to change my LinkedIn profile right now. I'm adding it.
Hey. You know what? Like, I think that would be that'd be really good for your brand too. I think CEO of Renters Warehouse and co-host of Think Realty Radio. I like it. Let's make it happen. As long as you tag
Abhi's,
me in
Abhi's
your bio.
Right hand man.
Yes.
Yeah, Abhi's right hand man.
Just tag me in your bio. I think that'll be really helpful. All right. Before the break, we were talking about tools and resources investors can use and get access to on runnerswarehouse.com when making some of these decisions to diversify markets, for example. What are some of these tools, resources that I have access to?
Yeah, so, you know, technology has changed so much over the last couple of years, and certainly the last 5 years, but even in the last couple of years. And it's funny, it feels like the real estate industry, the real estate space, is the last industry to get some of this technology coming in. But there's been a lot of focus on it the last couple of years. And now, as a real estate investor or someone who wants to get into investing in real estate, there's a lot of tools out there where you can do it from the comfort of your own home and not even have to travel into a different market. And if you're one of those folks we were talking about last segment that lives in New York, lives in San Francisco, lives in an expensive real estate market where it's really tough to make those numbers work to buy that first rental investment, you can expand your search and start looking at markets where it might make sense. So think of areas up and down the Rust Belt. You were talking about it last segment, homes you can buy for $90,000, maybe rent them for $900 to $1,000 a month, and you've got yourself a really nice investment. And one of the more recent changes in the single-family rental world is the fact that you can actually find these properties online on a couple different online marketplaces. Renters Warehouse is one of them. We have an investor marketplace that allows you to search any market across the country, do research on that market, so really dive into the data, understand the housing price appreciation trends, the population trends, the migration patterns, all these types of things. So you can do your homework and get educated. I think that's the first step to getting over the fear of investing in real estate, is to get educated. But on top of that, we're listing single-family homes for rent with tenants in place. So occupied single-family properties, which means as a buyer, you're cash flowing day one. And you can see photos of the property. You can see the tenant history, the payment history, the lease on the property. So it's almost like a Carfax report for properties, right? And you can do some more due diligence, get some more information before you buy that property, almost like researching a stock, and then click the button to buy and facilitate a lot of the transaction electronically online. So that didn't exist even a couple of years ago for everyday investors. And I think that is really changing the game, and it's allowing you to invest outside of your market, invest in new places, and alongside of that, there's some fantastic national brands, national property managers popping up to be able to handle that investment wherever it might be, right, and across multiple markets. And, of course, Renters Warehouse is one of those where you can buy the property with us, keep the property under our property management portfolio, so you're talking to the same people, and you can do that across a lot of different markets. We're in 42 markets today, so, again, it goes back to that diversification piece. You don't have to buy in just one market. You can maybe mitigate some risk and develop the type of performing portfolio you want by investing in multiple markets.
What's the time horizon that an investor, that one should have, that an investor should have on building out that perfect portfolio? Because for me, sometimes I wrap my head around it and I can do it fairly quickly and fairly easily. But if you're new, you might be a little frustrated with your current market, San Francisco, and you're thinking, all right, well, geez, now let me take a look at Columbus, Ohio, right? For me to A, get comfortable in a new market, B, then pull the trigger on a new market, C, find the right people to do everything, and then communicate with Renters Warehouse, the team, and you know, sometimes that, like for me, that seems like an experience. I'm sure it's going to be a really good experience from start to finish, but what should be my time horizon? Should it be the end of 2019, where I should have 5 or 10 or 30? What does that look like for you? Provide some guidance on that for me.
I think everyone's time horizon is different, right? Everyone's financial situation is different. And you need to be careful as an investor investing in anything that you're not, you know, just trying to mimic your favorite social media star out there or someone else you know in your circle that has a portfolio of 30, 40, 50 homes. Right, especially if you're just getting going and you're buying your first one. If you buy one home a year, you are buying more rental real estate than 98% of America, maybe 99% of Americans out there. Right, I don't know the exact percentage, but there's not many people own more than one rental property. Right,
right.
And so if you're buying one a year, you're actually on a really good trajectory for creating long-term wealth financial freedom and security for you and your family. Now, if you make enough money and you can work the systems and you build the right team and you could buy two a year, that's great. If you buy one every other year, that's great. I've been building my personal real estate portfolio for going on 18 years. I've invested with my dad and my brother, and we have 12 homes. So that's less than one a year. We've, you know, there's been years where we really took advantage of down real estate prices and bought. And then there's years where we maybe don't buy one because we didn't find that right investment, or we're busy doing something else in our day job and our career. So I think everyone's path is different. And just, I wouldn't encourage people to rush at it. I think if you can build a portfolio faster, that's a good thing. But also remember, this is long-term investing. This is not get rich quick. This is get rich slow. It's not sexy, but if you're consistent at it, it's like compound interest, right? Compound interest isn't exciting right away, but if you're consistent at it over time, it pays big dividends. And that's how I look at building a real estate portfolio.
Yeah, it's definitely going to feel like grass growing from underneath the break-even plane of dirt. And then it just grows slowly. And it's like, all right, well, geez, is this ever going to grow any faster? But look at it. If you buy one property this year and then you buy two next year, you're at three. If you just keep buying two more for the next 10 years, that's an additional 20 properties at the end of 10 years. But it's not just 20 properties, though. It's 20 properties with loans being paid down on all of them starting year one all the way to year 10. So not only is your cash flow increasing, but now you have more equity to potentially go out and buy more properties. Here's something interesting. Roughly 16 million homes across the United States are rental homes, okay? There are 327.16 million Americans that live in the United States. So simple division, we've got about 5%, okay, 5% of folks are renting property here. That being said, I mean, there's vast opportunities to really, really make a difference and make an impact on your portfolio because folks need to rent. Not everybody's going to qualify for a mortgage. And sometimes that process can be really tough, or it could be a credit issue, et cetera, and that's just an overall challenge. But they're renting. And so if you can rent them a part of the American dream or the American dream, they're not going to go anywhere. I don't have kids yet, but I can only imagine how much of a pain it is to move an entire family from a three-bed, two-bath house. So that being said, consider single-family rentals as part of your, as part of your overall investing strategy. It's super smart. It's pretty liquid, given the asset class itself isn't as liquid. But if I needed to sell a home, I could do that in a multitude of ways that I couldn't in say a 100-unit apartment complex. So we'll talk about some of these differences between say single-family rentals, duplexes, tris, quads, and then, of course, your larger apartment complexes and maybe what you should get into first, second, or third. We have some listener questions coming up as well after the break, so don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest-growing, and highest-reviewed property management companies in America. We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Kolhar after these messages.
Don't miss the Real Estate Note event of the year. The Paper Source Note Symposium is 3 days of learning and networking with the most experienced note investors on the planet. Discover how to buy non-performing and other real estate notes. Meet keynote speaker Eddie Wilson, president of Think Realty Radio, at the Paper Source Note Symposium, April 11th through the 13th in Las Vegas. Visit papersourceseminars.com right now and enter the discount code THINKREALTY for $50 off your ticket. That's papersourceseminars.com.
Attention real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and
learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
Are you ready to build your legacy and work for yourself? NAP, the Note Assistance Program, is here to help you build your empire with mortgage note investing. Receive monthly inventory in your inbox, get access to top-notch online training, and participate in trusted transactions with vetted sellers and buyers. Join their community by visiting noteassistanceprogram.com now and register for one of their nationwide note labs or online training today.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Welcome back, Think Realty Nation. It's the last 10 minutes of Think Realty Radio before we have to sign off, and you have to go back to your day, your next million-dollar meeting, and await tomorrow's show. My guest today, co-host today, has been really good friend of mine and so awesome and kind of answering some of my questions about investing in real estate. His name is Kevin Ortner. He's the CEO of Renters Warehouse. If you're a real estate investor and you're kind of in the game and you're thinking, well, geez, you know, I want to buy more rentals, but I don't have the best property manager right now, go ahead and go to renterswarehouse.com. They'll fix all that for you. That being said, Kevin, I'm always struck with questions on Instagram and Twitter and whatever other social media platforms by folks that follow the 10X platform. And there's certain members of this platform that will say, well, your first real estate deal should be a 30-unit real estate apartment complex. It just makes sense. You have to do it. It's a big deal. And you're not playing the 10X game unless you buy a massive apartment complex, bro, because that's the way you play the game and blah, blah. And there's this entire discourse about how doing smaller deals it just doesn't make any sense. It's the road to nowhere, and it doesn't even let you stack your wealth properly. Help me understand this game. Like, does it make sense to go after a 32, 33, 35 unit deal on your first deal?
Yeah, this is a tough conversation. I find this conversation kind of funny, I guess. And I'm a big fan of 10Xing things and the philosophy and the mindset. And I follow Grant Cardone as well. But in this one, I think he's wrong, right? Telling people that your first deal should be a 30 or 32-unit apartment building that costs more than $3 million because it's the only thing that's going to be worth your time and you're going to make your cash flow, all that kind of stuff, it's great in concept. But what if it can't be your first deal? What if you don't have the down payment for that? What if you don't want to crowdfund a 32-unit apartment building? What if you don't have the experience? What if you can't get the loan? Does that just mean you're out of the game? No. It means you need to start somewhere, right? And I think Grant even admits when he talks about this that he started somewhere smaller, and he feels like it was a mistake, but how would you have gotten there otherwise?
Yeah, right? And he might feel it's a mistake for him, but it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to impose and say, no, this is the only way to do it. And I'll tell you, it's not the only way to do it. If your first deal is going to be a 30-unit deal, it's not even like having a pair. Like, that's not even the thing. That's wrong. It's operationally speaking, if this is your first deal, you don't have the operational expertise. You're adding this element of risk to the deal, which is you, by not knowing what to do. And if you don't have the right team, and if you don't even know what the right team is, then the answer isn't just, oh man, let's just go ahead and get that team all set and let's just go ahead and outsource it and then we're off to a 150 unit deal. That's just a totally wrong mindset.
Yeah, I think, look, and it goes back to what we talked about last segment too, and that's how fast should I grow my portfolio? And it's as fast as you can, comfortably and smart. And you might be an individual who only has $20,000 to invest in a property, but you want to get into real estate, you should go to work on it and you should make that happen. And talk about the 10X philosophy. And 10 years from now, you might have a portfolio of 20 homes, just like you talked about earlier. And you could turn some of those into a 30 or 40 or 50 unit apartment complex and be on your way and investing in multifamily. The point is there's multiple ways to get there. I think people who are discouraged by hearing that you shouldn't play small ball and you should go straight to this deal and you don't know how to get there, you can't get there. That's not the only way, right? Get smart, get educated on this topic, read the books, build the team, and start with one property or buy the duplex, right? Live in one side and rent out the other side. That's my biggest advice to people when they get into real estate investing, and start small. And you can have the 10X mindset and want to grow your business, but do it smart. Do it the way that you can do it. And in 10 years from now, you're going to be in a position to do that big deal. And then you can look at your next 10-year goal as well. So I don't think it's all wrong, but I think it's a little aggressive to tell people that that's the way they got to start. That's the only way they can do it. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. Everybody's path is different. And you and I are talking about that, all the time.
Yeah, I agree with the crowdfunding thing too. Where are you going to get the loan, right? Unless Grant wants to also be a personal guarantor on your deal, which I highly doubt, he'll probably say, hey, you don't have the experience. I mean, I understand that, right? Like, I get it. You want to be aggressively charging toward your dreams. I think it's one thing to make these types of investing strategies or provide commentary on these strategies when you're doing so in a 2020 fashion, right? Looking at it now,
right.
Saying, yeah, of course I would have started on a 30-unit deal in my first one. Okay. But again,
right.
find out what strategy you're comfortable with. Don't let anybody tell you what the strategy should be. I mean, as you know, if you don't dictate your future, somebody else will. This is a classic example of that. Figure out what makes sense for you, and then go on that journey, because it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey, and you'll find that you'll accumulate assets. You'll get rid of some assets. Maybe you don't even like the large multifamily, right? Like, maybe that's just a total pain in the butt for you. Then don't even worry about it, right? I mean, there's something better. Maybe you'll like investing in first lien positions and, you know, against commercial real estate in Sedona, Arizona. I don't know. But these opportunities exist. But you have to find out the type of investment personality you have. And that's where it all starts. Don't let these big box gurus say, hey, this is what you should do.
I agree.
It's always been a challenge for me. That being said, how do I build the team, right? Like, if I'm going down this journey and I start the journey and I realize, okay, I want to end up with a sizable portfolio, whatever assets, asset classes I want to hold inside the portfolio looks like, I need a team on my side to help me do that. What are some team members that you had first starting out that you recommend to everybody?
Yeah, building your team as a real estate investor is super important, right? I talk about it all the time. You and I spoke about it before. But oftentimes, if you're a new investor coming into the space, you can't just try and figure it all out on your own. I'm a big proponent of getting educated. There's a lot of great free education out there in real estate, so don't be tricked into having to spend a bunch of money on the education. So get educated. But at the same time, the easiest way to really learn things and ensure some success is to get experienced people around you, right? So one of the first members of your team you're going to need is a real estate agent who understands investment real estate. And that means not just the traditional agent who buys and sells homes for everyone in the neighborhood. Find someone and interview people and understand if they truly get single-family rental properties, if they understand how to calculate a yield, what's a good yield, what's a bad yield, what part of the neighborhood to maybe stay away from for an investment reason, where you should be looking, right? Someone who really gets real estate. And that's not every traditional real estate agent. And that doesn't mean they're a bad real estate agent. It just means that that's not their specialty. Find the right specialty. It's like going to the doctor and getting referred to, the cardiovascular surgeon versus the brain surgeon, right? They have different specialties. They both do a great job, but find the right one for your situation, which is I want to buy an investment property. And start there. Then from there, you're going to want to make sure you've got a great, lending partner, someone on your team who's going to help you come up with the financing you need for the properties. As you're just getting started, local banks and credit unions are a great resource. As you get larger, there's a lot of other great platforms out there, but have that lender on your team. Then you're going to need to take care of the operations of the property, right? So whether that's a property manager that does all of the work for you and takes care of finding the maintenance vendors and everything that goes involved there, have that property manager. Or if you're going to do it yourself, then you need to build out your team a little deeper, and that's going to include your vendors for the property when something breaks. Who are you going to call, right? Yep. And you're going to need to have a couple different specialties, people who are licensed to do certain things. You're probably going to want to have a handyman that can do some basic things, and you got to have those guys on speed dial. But there's work in building that, because you want to interview them. You want to make sure they're knowledgeable and they're going to take good care of your property.
A lot of awesome insights, Kevin. I wish we had more time. You timed the music properly, so I certainly appreciate you jumping on the air with me today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
You got it. Understand these insights, build your team and your investing personality to follow. You'll do just fine. Get in touch. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. And until next time, happy investing.
This hour is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind.